If you've been trying to understand the December 4th murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, then you've surely got some questions because the official mainstream media narrative just doesn't add up. Today, I'm going to walk you through what I believe to be the actual hidden motive behind this murder and how all these dots connected into the world of conspiracy theory. We're going to go back into this topic again for part two. We're going to talk about Luigi's social media post, all-seeing eyes, triangles of manifestations, the dead man switch video on YouTube, back injury theories, his manifesto, his reading list on Goodreads, Know Thyself, the Unabomber review of Satanism, Jack Parsons' Oedipus Complex, family ties and bloodlines, conservative media, Freemasonry, millionaires, nursing homes, and his Republican congressman cousin Nino Mangione that serves on the Health and Social Services Committee and its relation to the S.2137 bill that I discussed in part one. Join me here on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Now, this one's going to be a banger. Get ready to hit that share button. You're going to want to share this with all your friends and all your families, which is great for me because that's going to help share the word about this great show, all the work I've been putting in for 10-plus years podcasting on these topics. It all came together today. I'm very excited to talk to you. Real quick, housekeeping. Shout out to Skinny Fresh. He sent me some badass stuff, some Twin Peaks merch, some cool Jason Voorhees stuff. Shout out, it's his birthday, so thank you, Skinny Fresh. Now, I also have a discount code on Patreon you can still use. You can get in there until December 16th. It's for New Year's only. Sorry, there was a couple people that are already on Patreon. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to apply that discount code. It's 80% off of Tier 1 and Tier 2, by the way, so you can get in for a buck. Apparently, it's only for new users who sign up, or maybe not brand new, but people who aren't currently on a plan. My apologies on that. I'm still learning. It's a new feature they unlocked. So the Patreon discount code, if you go to Illuminati Watcher, or I'm sorry, if you go to patreon.com/Illuminati Watcher, you can get in using the discount code of Diddy, all caps, D-I-D-D-Y, 80% off for $1. You can get in until December 16th, 2024. Then it's gone forever. There's lots of confusion over it, so it probably is gone forever. Or maybe next year. I don't know. We'll see. I run discount codes periodically. So, yeah, patreon.com/Illuminati Watcher. And you can go catch part one of this topic, where I went deep into a lot of these things that we're gonna elaborate upon further today. But don't worry. I'll guide you along. If you're like, man, I don't have a buck, Isaac, that's fine. I get it. I'm gonna give you the basics so you don't even have to do it. All right? Okay. Now, in the part one episode, which was the December bonus episode for supporters only, because you know every month I give the supporters a bonus episode that the free feed losers don't get to hear. We didn't know who it was yet. We didn't know who the shooter was. I'd argue that we still don't, which leads me to my first point and probably the biggest point of this entire episode. Is Luigi Mangione, I don't know if I'm saying that last name right, is this really the guy? I don't think so. Nothing made sense on this whole case from the jump. We had images of what appeared to be different coats. The eyebrows on these guys don't even match. And then it doesn't make sense. I don't even need to go through the list because you're educated, smart people. This guy who went through all this meticulous work to hide his identity would get on a bus or whatever, and 5 days later a few days later, get caught at a McDonald's a couple hundred miles away, and he still kept this 3D printed gun, apparently, and a manifesto in his pocket. Come on. That sounds like a bunch of BS to me. He had the weapon, the silencer, some fake IDs and passports, all of this stuff. Ain't no way. The guy that dropped the backpack with the Monopoly money in it, the guy who wore the mask everywhere he went in New York there. And on top of that, he gets arrested at a very public, at a McDonald's. And there's no cell phone coverage? Not even the snitch who called the cops on him? Didn't even decide to film with their cell phone? That doesn't make any sense. There's no surveillance footage. There's these couple of grainy surveillance images that they've shared of him eating a hash brown. So, maybe. But nobody at McDonald's, even the people who were sitting next to him who said, wow, that guy looks like the killer, and then here the cops come in to arrest this guy, even those two, neither one of them thought, wow, that might really be the killer. Let's film this. I'm not buying a piece of this whole thing. I'm just not. I'm absolutely not. Until I see further evidence. Right now, I'm just like, man, there's some real buggery afoot here. And on top of all that, there was some weird, and I don't have a theory for this, but there's a weird synchro mysticism connection with McDonald's here, because remember, we just went through this whole thing where Kamala said she worked there as a teenager, and then Trump insisted that she didn't, so he worked there, said he loved it, said he wants to keep working there. Well, that's interesting. And I'll keep my opinions to myself. And there was this whole outbreak of E. coli. It's really strange. I mean, granted, there's a lot of McDonald's. Now, let's talk about, so there, first and foremost, I actually don't believe it's Luigi at this moment, as of December 11th. So, but we'll see as the case unfolds. So far, I'm like, my thought is the cops planted all this stuff because they need to shut this thing down, and this guy looked close enough, they're calling it good. But maybe, I mean, I don't know. I can be talked to either side of this based on his digital footprint, but my gut tells me that surely doesn't make sense unless he's got mental issues, which maybe that is. I just don't see how you are careful about things, but then absolutely walking around with a manifesto, a gun, a silencer, fake IDs, and all this stuff. It doesn't make any sense. Now, let's go to his Instagram. And you'll notice a lot of these, when this first happened, when his name was released, I was on it immediately. I exported as PDF all of his Facebook, Instagram, and his Twitter. Because I knew it. Once this happens, a million fake-ass social media accounts pop up because the internet's just a sleazy cesspool. And people claiming they're him. And then the social media companies always torch their accounts, which they did with Luigi. So we talked a little bit. I made a video on my sleazy Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe, about the Twitter post he had made about the interest in technology and his pinned post about human race headed towards extinction or immortality. Very evolutionary. And so we already talked about his Twitter a little bit, but let's go to his Instagram, which was luigi.from.fiji, which has since been torched. And that's another issue, is all these fake social media accounts and stuff popping up. They post stuff to try to get people talking conspiracy about it. And it sucks because it really muddies the waters, you know, because these people want to build up these fake files. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm also employed, so I don't maybe I'm not supposed to understand it, and I don't live in my mom's basement, so anyway, his Instagram that got blocked. What was interesting is that in his bio, and I'll put some of these images I captured on my Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe, he had in his bio he had some emojis. It included a backpack, which is, of course, very interesting considering that was a huge focus of this case. But to be fair, to be rational, it had a backpack image next to an image of an island, next to a no symbol, like the line crossed to a circle, and then a Wi-Fi symbol, meaning like he likes backpacking on an island with no electricity, which would make sense given the Unabomber thing we're going to talk about later. What was interesting on his Instagram, he had an image of him and a bunch of students doing this weird triangle of manifestation. I don't have a clue as to what they were doing exactly, but they had their hands in the iconic Jay-Z rock diamond, which we've already ascertained as an occult symbol for the triangle of manifestation. I've talked about this countless times. Anton LaVey has an iconic image doing this. Because it's an occult image. The triangle is a manifesting symbol for creativity. That's why the magicians conjure up entities inside of a triangle. Does that mean he's doing occult magic? I don't know. I just found it interesting. Same with him. He had, when he was at University of Pennsylvania, there at his fraternity for Phi Kappa Psi, it has an all-seeing eye and a genie bottle. You know, genies always conjure up the jinn, the entities. And the all-seeing eye, of course, the symbol for wisdom, which comes up later on in this talk. We're going to talk about the wisdom and the Gnostic symbolism of Luigi. Then we go to his Facebook. He didn't have a lot of activity on his Facebook. In 2010, so he's 26 now. Take 14 years off of that. He was 12 when he liked an article, which is weird, kind of. In 2010, he liked this article from the Wall Street Journal about the obstacle to deficit cutting, a nation on entitlements. Now, the Wall Street Journal article is paywalled, but the exact same article is mirrored on Fox News. And it said, efforts to tame America's ballooning budget deficit could soon confront a daunting reality. Nearly half of all Americans live in a household in which someone receives government benefits, more than at any time in history. At the same time, the fraction of American households not paying federal income taxes has also grown to an estimated 45% in 2010, from 39% 5 years ago, according to the Tax Policy Center, a nonpartisan research organization. A little more than half... Hang on. A little more than half don't earn enough to be taxed. That doesn't make sense to me. A little more than... Okay, anyway, I'll just move on. A little more than half don't earn enough to be taxed. Oh, okay, I think it's saying why that is. The rest take so many credits and deductions they don't owe anything. Most still get hit with Medicare and Social Security payroll taxes, but 13% of all households pay neither federal income nor payroll taxes. And this is the same narrative that you'll see the right pushing right now, saying that, again, I think I just read an article about this not too long ago, a few weeks ago, about how most people in America don't work, and they're trying to sell the public on the idea that Americans are just lazy and we really need to cut entitlements because that's what the plan is, right? We talked about this in part one. They're not, to be fair, they're at least telling you straight up that's what they're going to do. They're going to cut your Social Security, your Medicare, your Medicaid. They're cutting it because they say these are entitlement programs. But to get you behind that, they can't say, hey, there's these retirees and we've got kids with disabilities and all these problems on these systems. We're going to kick them off. They say, oh, they're just lazy. They don't want to work. Like, that's what they say. And granted, some of that exists in there, but they really want us. It's a class warfare, right? They want us divided, which we'll come back to later. But it's a bit deceiving of a statistic because you've got kids, you've got retirees, you've got people living in poverty that work. You've got the disabled all lumped into one statistics, which ironically, when we go through Luigi's Goodreads account, you'll see that he was reading books about how you can use statistics to lie. And it's interesting because it fits into my final conclusion theory, which I'm going to blow your mind at the end. Stick around. This one's good. I got the grand theory of what's going on here, that Luigi may be part of the family's interests in cutting Medicare benefits. And I can't tell if he was on board or against it. It's hard to tell at this point. I'll explain later. Then there's this dead man switch video. After his arrest, there were multiple YouTube channels posting a countdown video that said, "The truth, the sword of truth, we love you, God," with a countdown timer. And it said, "If you see this, I'm already under arrest." And it would count down, and it would flash the word December 11th real quick. And then it said, "All is scheduled. Be patient." Well, what they're talking about here is a dead man switch, meaning when someone either gets in trouble or gets murdered, they would have it set up to automatically release a video or an announcement or evidence of some kind to, I don't know, exonerate them or take someone else down. And what's interesting is I saw this and I immediately went to YouTube to try to verify it. And on December 9th, there were countless YouTube accounts called Luigi Mangione set up. All of them were for December 9th, and they all posted this video there was one page I saw. I mean, I say there was maybe 10 of these. One of them said it was started in May. But it's hard to tell because people can change their channel name at any time. And what was weird was it had the countdown Dead Man Switch video, but it also had a video of like a guy trying to sell beats, like a producer. Then there was someone on TikTok who claimed that they saw it on a channel created in January. I didn't see that. There's right now, this morning, there's a at Pep Mangione, which actually spelled his own name wrong. Manny Gone is how they spelled it. So I don't think that's Luigi either. But it was created in 2023. They posted a part three on the 10th, and it was like something cryptic. Anyway, it's all nonsense, is what I'm trying to tell you. We heard, and conspiracy theories always rage with things like this. When John McAfee died, supposedly in 2021, there was a Dead Man Switch coming to reveal the Epstein list. Same with Isaac Cappy, which there was a video of like a bunch of little kids in some weird baptismal font in a, I don't know, some wealthy house. I don't know if that was the Dead Man Switch. It was a weird video. Nothing criminal going on, just creepy. So back to Luigi. He went to an all-boys private school because you're going to find out he came from a very wealthy family. He was valedictorian, so a very intelligent guy. At the Gilman School, and if you look up the Gilman School, they have a very odd motto. It says, In tuo lumine lumen, which in Latin means, In thy light, we see light. Very Gnostic, right? Very Gnostic, very Freemasonic. Is the roots of the Gilman School in some kind of Gnostic occultism? I don't know. You know, those Latins were always talking about lights and things like this, but so do the Illuminate Confirms. Always talking about light being the wisdom, the Sophia, the Gnostic wisdom of the truth of the nature of reality, and that God is Satan. That's the light. I watched his speech. It was meh. There's nothing there interesting. But if you go to the Gilman School Wikipedia, you'll see there's notable alumni that includes John Theodore. That's the drummer for Mars Volta, which connects us into the world of Scientology. Because Cedric Bixler and I can't remember her name. How dare I? She has been trying to expose the Scientology. It's a cat. Chrissy Bixler and Cedric Bixler Zavala. Anyway, she's married to Cedric, the lead singer from Mars Volta. Another notable alumni is Fife Symington. That's right, the Fife Symington from the Phoenix Lights case. Remember that? The governor of Arizona who come out and mocked everybody with a fake alien head. And he was like, come on, guys, get it together. And then years later, he's like, bro, I seen those lights. I seen the UFOs. What is it? What? Come on, Fife dog. Get it together. Over to the Daily Mail. They're saying that it's possible. And that's a pretty seedy kind of website, right? They're saying that Luigi had a back injury, which is true. And they're saying that he couldn't have sex. They claim that a former roommate named R.J. Martin, who lived with him in Hawaii for 6 months, said that Luigi had a back injury that was so severe he couldn't have sex, and he felt really bad for him. Said that Luigi got injured in 2022 from a single surf lesson. Ugh. I've always wanted to take a surfing lesson. Now I'm scared. That's crazy. And a Reddit user, which again, the internet sucks, full of trolls and liars. A Reddit user claimed that fraternity that Luigi went to at U of P. Is that you? Is that how you guys say it? U of P, U of PA? I don't know. I'm from Penn State, not University of Pennsylvania. And he claims his fraternity did a hell week, and that's what injured him. I don't know if that's true. But if it's true that he couldn't have sex, which I don't believe, he seemed to be doing just fine. It's hard to believe, pun intended, that this guy who's young, rich, intelligent, master's degree from an Ivy League school, homeboy's ripped, Superman abs. This guy couldn't have sex. I mean, he could just lay on his back, right? I don't know. Just postulating. I don't think it's that he couldn't get a chick. I think it's that the theory is that he couldn't actually have sex. But, I mean, that's pretty debilitated. And it doesn't seem like he was that hard up. Anyway, it made me think of incels, okay? Which incel sometimes is in promoting violent culture. Which takes me back to my part one where I talked about the Catcher in the Rye conspiracy, which I was shocked to find not on his Goodreads list. Now, the manifesto, we're going to go over that Goodreads list next. Let's talk about the manifesto real quick. Ken Klippenstein, pretty cool name, has a Substack, and he claims that there is a, he says something about, I'm going to read you what he said. I've obtained a copy of suspected killer Luigi Mangione's manifesto, the real one, not the forgery circulating online. Major media outlets are also in possession of the document, but I refused to publish it and not even articulate a reason why. My queries to the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, and NBC to explain their rationale for withholding the manifesto while gladly quoting from it selectively have not been answered. Which is, I've seen that when this first happened. I'll have more to say on this later on how unhealthy the media's drift away from public disclosure is, but for now, here's the manifesto. And, you know, and that's why nobody trusts the mainstream media anymore. And why is that? You know, if you watch any mainstream media, you will always, 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 always see advertisements for big pharma, insurance companies, healthcare, health coverage, boner pills, miracle cures, all that stuff. They're very cozy with each other, so I think they're trying to tread carefully with this. Here's the manifesto, though. It says, to the feds, I'll keep this short because I do respect what you do for our country. Immediate red flag. Immediate red flag. Oh, I'm telling you, the police wrote this so hard. How should we start it out, Sheriff? Well, to the feds and our beautiful law enforcement of this country who work so hard. Which they do. Like, I'm not trying to shit on them. I just, come on, man. To the feds, I'll keep this short because I do respect what you do for our country. Come on. To save you a lengthy investigation, I state plainly that I wasn't working with anyone. Again, super convenient tie-up. Amazing the first two sentences. This guy who shot and murdered somebody for a passionate cause is immediately like saluting the feds. Immediately, let's wrap this up. Let's close this case out, cops, because it was just me, no one else involved. I mean, it's so convenient, isn't it? This was fairly trivial. Some elementary school engineering, basic CAD, a lot of patience. The spiral notebook, if present, has some straggling notes and to-do lists that illuminate the gist of it. There's that illuminate word, right? Illuminate, confirm. And we're going to talk about the to-do list later. My tech is pretty locked down because I work in engineering, so probably not much info there. Again, it's like this is very, very convenient for the law enforcement. I do apologize for any strife or traumas, but it had to be done. Frankly, these parasites simply had it coming. A reminder, the U.S. has the number one most expensive healthcare system in the world, yet we rank roughly number 42 in life expectancy. United is the, indecipherable, largest company in the U.S. by market cap, behind only Apple, Google, Walmart, which I talked about on part one. Interestingly enough, it has grown and grown, but as our life expectancy? No, the reality is these, indecipherable, have simply gotten too powerful, and they continue to abuse our country for immense profit because the American public has allowed them to get away with it. Obviously, the problem is more complex, but I do not have space, and frankly, I do not pretend to be the most qualified person to lay out the full argument. But many have illuminated, another illuminate confirm, but many have illuminated the corruption and greed, e.g. Rosenthal, Moore, decades ago, and the problems simply remain. It's not an issue of awareness at this point, but clearly power games at play. Evidently, I'm the first to face it with such brutal honesty. And I think that's all true, that part. And he's the Rosenthal name is alleged to be Elizabeth Rosenthal, a journalist for the New York Times, who apparently wrote a piece about healthcare in the U.S. sucking. And Michael Moore is allegedly the Moore. He did a documentary called Sicko. I've seen all of his documentaries, which is interesting because he even did one about the green movement and about how solar and all this stuff is a farce. So, I mean, he's not, I don't know. I like Michael Moore. Notice the term illuminate used multiple times. Notice how convenient for the cops. You know, case closed, all sewed up. We got our guy. Let's move on. And another weird thing I don't have a good explanation for, but the media is obsessed with calling this a 262-word manifesto. I looked that number up to see if there's some occult symbolism. They say it's an angel number. It's a palindrome because you got 262. I mean, and when you look up the angel number thing, it gets very subjective. You can come up with your own interpretation of literally anything you want. So I'm not going to. That's why I don't get into gematria too much. But that to-do list. Now, we haven't seen a copy of that, but allegedly he was talking about using a bomb to kill this guy, but didn't want to take out innocent people. More to come on the to-do list, I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Then the Goodreads list. His profile immediately went private. He apparently had 295 books that he wanted to read that was on his read list. There's a video someone posted scrolling through it, thank goodness, and I paused through the whole thing. And I'm going to read you some of the titles that I found interesting. In fact, his about on his Goodreads bio said, "Know thyself." Now, that's an occult phrase. This goes back to the Temple of Apollo at Delphi. This is the Plato, Socrates, because Neoplatonism is one of the three inspirations for modern Western esotericism. That's Kabbalah and Hermeticism. Socrates embraced this idea and said that the unexamined life is not worth living. Which is interesting, right? All the dummies around him just live blissfully, ignorant. This is very much from The Matrix. I did a 4-episode Matrix decode of the Matrix films a couple years ago. Check that out. By the way, quick plug. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, on the margins, if you're on the desktop or laptop, or scroll all the way down if you're on a cell phone, you'll see a thing that says Index of All Episodes. And you can search that page to go back 10 years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes, to see if I did an episode. Like, if you're like, oh, The Matrix, let me check that out. Search for Matrix and you'll see it. Part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think. Now, his Reddit, I found on Reddit, the Unabomber book, he left a lengthy review for Industrial Society and Its Future. That was the only one he seemed to leave a review for. January 23rd, 2024, which is pretty recent. Now, this is the kind of thing that makes me think, like, maybe Luigi is the guy. I don't know. I'm going to read you the full review. He gave it 4 out of 5 stars. I mean, if it was 5 out of 5, I'd be like, yeah, I could see how he murdered somebody because of the Unabomber, but 4 out of 5, probably not enough to go murder somebody. Clearly written by a mathematics prodigy, reads like a series of lemmas on the question of 21st century quality of life. It's easy to quickly and thoughtless write this off as the manifesto of a lunatic in order to avoid facing some of the uncomfortable problems it identifies. But it's simply impossible to ignore how prescient many of his predictions about modern society turned out. He was a violent individual, rightfully imprisoned, who maimed innocent people. While these actions tend to be characterized as those of a crazy Luddite, however, they are more accurately seen as those of an extreme political revolutionary. A take I found online I think is interesting, quote, "Had the balls to recognize that peaceful protest has gotten us absolutely nowhere, and at the end of the day, he's probably right. Oil barons haven't listened to any environmentalists, but they feared him. When all..." Oh, okay, I think I'm still reading the quote he found. When all other forms of communication fail, violence is necessary to survive. You may not like his methods, but to see things from his perspective, it's not terrorism, it's war and revolution. Fossil fuel companies actively suppress anything that stands in their way, and within a generation or two, it will begin costing human lives by greater and greater magnitudes until the Earth is just a flaming ball orbiting third from the sun. Peaceful protest is outright ignored. Economic protest isn't possible in the current system. So how long until we recognize that violence against those who lead us to such destruction is justified as self-defense? These companies don't care about you or your kids or your grandkids. They have zero qualms about burning down the planet for a buck, so why should we have any qualms about burning them down to survive? We're animals just like everything else on this planet, except we've forgotten the law of the jungle and bend over for our overlords when any other animal would recognize the threat and fight to the death for their survival. Violence never solved anything is a statement uttered by cowards and predators. So that whole last bit was something that he had quoted from someone else, okay? But he said he liked it. Quick side note, the Church of Satan says that man is just an animal. So to compare man to animal is kind of satanic in a way. That's why at the beginning I alluded to Satanism with that. Now, I've talked about Kaczynski over the years many times. Because it is interesting that some of the ideas he presented about technology doing us in. And it seems to be lining up towards that, especially with the fueling of AI, social media, I mean, you name it. Funny story, I actually had a conversation with Josie about this on Breaking Social Norms podcast. We talked about The Wizard of Oz. And she said, I talked about Unabomber, and she said, have you ever read the manifesto? I said, yeah, but it was forever ago. And she said, you should do a show about that. And I said, that's a great idea. I should do that. Because it comes up a lot in Michael Hoffman's writings, that well, similar ideas in secret societies and psychological warfare. So anyway, I threw the book in my Amazon cart that day. It was like, I don't know, the end of November. Then a family member was like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And I don't want anything. And I was like, give me this book. So I took it out of the cart and canceled it. And then days later, now it's all over the news. So I was like, shoot. So I went back in and bought it again because I was like, I don't want this to get pulled off the shelves. You know what I mean? Anyway, just interesting synchronicities, right? But here's the books that I thought was, these are the books that stood out to me. There's a, that he had in his two books he wanted to read. Mythology by Edith Hamilton is a book about mythology, right? Which we talk about on this show often. Maui Revealed, which is a book I have that I've used to, I love Maui. And it's very helpful to navigate Maui, that book. Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, you know, conspiracy fodder. David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, I've read that. Well, I've read half of it. I kind of got the picture. I was like, okay, I get it. I don't need to finish it. The Singularity is Near, Ray Kurzweil. I think I literally just bought that on Kindle. I'm going to read that because I read his old book from the 90s, late 90s, like 99. I don't even remember what it was called. But yeah, Kurzweil, his stuff is very relevant to a lot of what the technocrats want to do with an AI and digital matrix and all that. Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Work Week, 4-Hour Chef. I've read both of those. Michael Pollan books. I've read a lot of his books, like How to Change Your Mind, The Omnivore's Dilemma, Yuval Harari, Sapiens. I read that one. That one's really good, too. He had a book called On Immunity and Inoculation. I think questioning, you know what? Mein Kampf. The Hidden Life of Trees, which was interesting because it's very... Sounds very Avatar-y, saying that the trees can communicate and like have families and stuff. Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, I've read that. The Harry Potter books. The Swoley Bible, The Bro Science Way of Life. See that, and that's what makes me think he's into the Red Pill Manosphere stuff. Of Mice and Men, which I haven't read it, but ironically I just watched that movie because it stars Sherilyn Fenn. If anyone knows Sherilyn Fenn, tell her to unblock me on Instagram, okay? She blocked me. I think it was an accident. I messaged her. She wrote me back months later. I said, hey, I'd love to interview you for this Twin Peaks book I'm writing. She sounded receptive, and then out of nowhere, she blocked me. Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I read that. Thinking Fast and Slow. Blink. Malcolm Gladwell. I mean, these are very popular books. Why Buddhism is True. Rage by Bob Woodward. That's a book about Trump. How to Avoid Climate Disaster by Bill Gates. Food Inc. I've read that. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. That came up in our analysis of one of the best movies I've ever watched, Natalie Portman, Annihilation. That, if so, check out the Annihilation show for more on that book. Animal Farm, Bertrand Russell, Conquest of Happiness, which is very global, illuminated, confirmed. The Portable Nietzsche, and this is where it gets interesting, because in part one, we talked about Nietzsche. You remember that? And if you haven't listened to it, because, I'll tell you what I talked about. I talked about how I did a live stream with Donut, and Donut talked about the first bank robbery in New York was at a Citibank in March of 1883. And he talked, because the connection was that the shooter left on a city bike, an electric e-bike. Now, the alleged culprits of that Citibank robbery from 1883, or is it 1838? Anyway, Edward Smith, Edward Jones. There were aliases that you'll also find in The Matrix. But on the stream with Donut, I brought up that, well, that's interesting because Parsons signed his books after he became master of the temple as Belarion 8=3, which is a signature for people who cross the abyss. And Donut was like, yeah, there's that Murder by Numbers movie where they use 3 and 8 in the poster. And I'm going to bring this up again in the conclusion when I talk about Parsons and the Oedipus complex, which is pretty wild. So anyway, I talked about how there is a, the Murder by Numbers movie is based on a 1924 actual case of two guys who tried to demonstrate their intellect to commit a perfect crime. And the one guy was really into Nietzsche's Ubermensch idea, the idea of a Superman. They thought they were the Supermen. And I found it interesting that this yet again pops up with, but this guy seems very well read, very educated. So not shocking. He's got a Nietzsche book in there in his read list. Then we've got, there's like sex type books like Come As You Are, which I've read. It's how women are, women's sexuality, which men should know about, as well as a book called Of Boys and Men, Why the Modern Male is Struggling. And when I see this, I think, is this just like red pill manosphere stuff? Or is this some kind of his way of trying to wrap his mind around this temporarily incel kind of life he had with his spinal injury? I don't know. And the spinal injury didn't seem to affect him much when the cops were taking him away. And a few more books here. 48 Laws of Power, Untethered Soul. Great book. Everyone's read Untethered Soul, so should you. Kristen Neff's Self-Compassion, again, great book. Everyone should read that. That's out of the list of every book on here, that's the one I would say you should read. Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff. The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, I've read that. Perennial Philosophy by Aldous Huxley, which is the idea that we all come from one. This is a very Gnostic simulation theory kind of vibe. The Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley, which is where we get the term for the band name, The Doors, and drugs, because Huxley was introduced to mescaline through Aleister Crowley, which is what the inspiration for that book was. Lindsay Gibson's Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. Faust by Goethe. This is where the Faustian bargain idea comes from. American Prometheus, a book about Oppenheimer, which we talked about with the Oppenheimer movie back in the summer of, was it last summer? A year before. Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. I never read that. Anyway, there's a bunch of books about evolution, animals, food and the food system, self-help type stuff, the body. And what's interesting is that a lot of these books have led me down my path as well. So it's like he was getting indoctrinated into, down the rabbit hole in a way. Also, was he vegan? I don't know. He's seen, like, his books support that idea. I mean, homeboy was shredded to be vegan, which is possible, you know, I guess. He was eating a hash brown, which I don't think that's vegan because they, is it? Because they, do they fry it in weird animal fats? I don't know. Maybe it is. Yeah, it probably is. Anyway, interesting comment I read. I don't want to, I didn't come up with this, so I don't want to say I did, but someone on the socials talked about, like, this is why books get banned, which we're going to talk about later when we find out his congressman cousin wants to ban books. Very interesting. But they want to ban books because it can radicalize even the wealthy to violently overthrow the wealthy, the oligarchs. Anyways, yeah, so his book list. And then we talked about Twitter. We already talked about that. Oh, and this is where it starts to get real juicy. Hopefully you stuck around this long. His grandfather, Nicholas Mangione Sr., has a whole ass Wikipedia page. That's, you've made it. When you're on the Wikipedia, you've made it. So his grandfather was a wealthy CEO. He owned nursing homes called the Lorien Health Services, which ironically, me and Josie also talked about on our Wizard of Oz show. I mean, the synchronicities there are strange. We talked about the Unabomber book, I believe, and we talked about nursing homes, about how we lamented that all nursing homes aren't, like, super nice. You know what I mean? A lot of people find a lot of wealth owning nursing homes, and I'm okay with people being wealthy. I just, sometimes you see nursing homes and they're very sad. You know, our church goes to, I haven't been to church in a few years, but we go to nursing homes for Christmas, and it absolutely breaks your heart. I mean, these poor people, they're, a lot of them just get dumped. Their family just dumps them off at some of these nurse, these, I mean, I'm talking about like the low income ones. Terrible. People just want batteries for their hearing aids. They just want underwear. They just want socks. I'll never forget the one woman. She wanted a CD player with an Elvis CD, and she told me that it was because her and her husband used to dance to this, cause, you know, she's older. And she had she was like basically like confined to bed, and she just had like photos of her and her husband back. Oh, it's brutal. Anyway, yes, but I don't know. Maybe he was a nice nursing homeowner. I don't know. It's possible. Because just to be fair, I looked it up because I was like, well, let me see if there's like Better Business Bureau complaints, and there weren't really any. So I don't know. Maybe it's a good one, and kudos, you know, if that's the case. But he also owned media, the mainstream media, all right? The WCBM AM radio station. I don't know, is that mainstream? I don't know. But that radio station hosts conservative talk radio. If you go to their page, it talks about how the history, they used to play music, but it wasn't profitable. They were failing, and they were like, let's just do AM talk radio. Hannity, O'Reilly, Rush, Mark Levin and Frank Morano, which was funny to me because Frank Morano followed me on Twitter a year or two ago, and I followed him back. You know, like I said, like I consume all kinds of left and right media all over the place. I'm not one of these like super extremist guys. Like I kind of have views on both sides of the spectrum. And I went in there because like it was ironic because someone I knew literally just messaged me and they're like, hey, I was listening to Frank Morano and there was this UFO thing in Jersey or whatever, right? And I just thought, oh, wow, that's really cool. And I went to write him back and be like, hey, you know what's really cool? That Frank Morano, we follow each other. But I wanted to make sure that was still the case. So I went on there and he unfollowed me. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much for him or something. I don't know. It's weird. So your homework, you need to have Frank reach out to me and Sherilyn Fenn. I'm just kidding. I don't care. I don't give a shit who listens to me. Sherilyn Fenn kind of hurts me, though, because I was like, man, I really wanted to talk to her. Anyway, Rich Nicholas Mangione Sr. He died in 2008, but he owned nursing homes, he owned a radio station, and country clubs. The ultimate in WASP flexing. You don't just go to the country club, you own that bitch. He owned the Hayfields Country Club and Turf Valley Club. I've never stepped foot in one. Seems interesting. I don't know what it costs to go to a country club. I assume it's unaffordable to the masses, but anyways, homeboy owns them. Flexing on them hoes. Then I went to the CNN article about this, and it said he was a Mason, a literal Mason. Calm down. It says Mangione himself, however, grew up in a wealthy Baltimore family that made it big in business. The suspect's grandfather, Nicholas Mangione, a former masonry contractor who told the Baltimore Sun he started working at age 11, built a local real estate empire that included nursing home facilities around Maryland and two country clubs in the suburbs of Baltimore. That's a pretty good. Started working at 11. I started working at 13. Very close. All right. I've had a consecutive W-2 since I was 13, barring a 1 month. I had 1 month before I joined the military and 1 month after the military that I wasn't working. That was it. I've worked consecutively through high school, during the high school year. After school, I'd go to work. So, and I don't have an empire yet. We're getting there. And my point is, I think it's very valuable to teach. I think it's, and this is where my conservative side comes out. I think it's very important for people that are young to work, and it has to click in early. The connection of your labor to your way of living, you know? Because like my parents didn't give me any money. Like when I was 13, they were like, go get a job, dude. So I made, I think it was $3.25 an hour working at the car wash. For years I did it. I still got carpal tunnel from it, squeezing the trigger at the front of the tunnel. And I remember, I'll never forget, because I would work after school every day, and then on the weekends I would work 8-hour shifts. And a lot of my friends on the 8-hour shift, you'd get a lunch break, and they would go over to the McDonald's. There's McDonald's again. And they would buy a meal and come back and eat it. And it smelled so good. I never did it because I was like, bro, I'm making $3 an hour. 8 times 8 hours, I was like $24 to be here for the day. I'm not going to go spend $3 or $4 of that to go get lunch. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make any sense. And to this day, I pack my lunch. I never go out to lunch. It's very rare. Anyways, my point being is that it's very good and healthy for people at a young age to connect those dots. So when you're supplementing their lifestyle and not making them work, it's screwing them up. You're setting them way back behind the curve. This guy started working at 11 and figured it out pretty quick. Same for me. Started at 13. Put it together real quick. That blue-collar lifestyle was not good for me. I was like, I got to get through college. And it took me, I didn't get through college. So I was in my late 20s. How old was I? 30? Oh, I got out of the military at 23. 26 years. Yeah, probably about 30. Anyway, recall in part one, I talked about the United Healthcare logo, and I connected it to the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry when it has the three steps. The Master Mason is the third step. And here we find out that this wealthy guy that created a whole empire was a Mason, not a Freemason. That's called speculative Freemasonry, but that's where the roots of Freemasonry go. It goes to actual masonry and building, the architects, the Hiram Abiff of building Solomon's Temple. Because some do it figuratively and some do it literally. He apparently did it literally. So anyways, so, like I said, Nicholas Mangione Sr. dies in 2008. So then Luigi's father led the Mangione family enterprises, and the assumption here is that Luigi was going to step up to this whole operation and get paid. Now, quick side note, another possible motivation for this murder, I'm going to employ the ideas of the Oedipus complex. I made a post on the Instagram, and it's related to the ideas of Freud and the Oedipus complex, which is basically kill your dad to bang your mom. And I was thinking about this because something that doesn't stick with me is that Luigi, whose family is full of multimillionaire CEOs, is so upset at the system that he would go and kill a billionaire CEO. And that, of course, is if this is the killer. I actually, like I said, doubt that. And I thought, if there's an MK Ultra connection here, maybe it's some kind of trigger for an Oedipus complex. I don't know that exists. But Jack Parsons did. And he details it in one of his writings called The Analysis by a Master of the Temple. He's the Master of the Temple. That's why he signed his stuff, Belarion 8 equals 3. As believed that he did this literally. He made sexy time with mom. Supposedly there's footage of it. Because you remember when he died, his mother immediately committed suicide. Like, they were pretty close. And she committed suicide, and she had like a paraplegic roommate that had to watch her do it. It was crazy. But anyways, it's alleged that there's footage of this, of Parsons and his mom banging it out. And it included the family dog. What? As per Jack Parsons in the Fall of Babylon book by Paul Rydeen. But if you go to the collective writings of Jack Parsons' book, it explains the Oedipus complex. It says, your father separated from your mother in order that you might grow up with a hatred of authority and a spirit of revolution necessary to my work. The Oedipus complex was needed to formulate the love of witchcraft, which would lead you into magic with the influence of your grandfather active to complete an identification with your mother. And it's, recall in part one, I talked about Parsons' 8 equals 3 signature. We talked about this already in part one. So anyway, I don't know, just a side theory to toss in there, because there's a lot of like patriarchal connections here, because Luigi's father is still alive. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if that theory holds a lot of weight, but it's interesting. So what's crazy when you look at his family is that they are deeply entrenched in the world of healthcare. Because it's not just nursing homes, it's actual hospitals. Listen to this. If you go to BaltimoreBanner.com, for decades, the Mangione family has been a cornerstone supporter of the Greater Baltimore Medical Center, contributing more than $1 million to the hospital. Starting in 1983, there's that 83 again. Ain't that something? We're just unpacking stuff all over the place here. Every one of the family's grandchildren, including Luigi Mangione, was born at GBMC, a tradition so ingrained that, as one family member noted in a hospital blog post, it becomes subconscious. Delivering at GBMC is not even a thought. What a weird thing to say, but okay. In recognition of their enduring support, the hospital's high-risk obstetrics unit bears the Mangione name. Beyond GBMC, the Mangione Family Foundation has extended its philanthropy to institutions including the Kennedy Krieger Institute, St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, and the University of Maryland St. Joseph Medical Center. Now, recall how in part one, I was talking and ranting and raving about a recent bill that dealt with hospice home care and Medicare. Do you remember that? I'm going to recap it for the free feed losers that didn't catch it. Or if you want the full scope, go pay the buck on the patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You know, go check it out for a buck. Promo code Diddy, all caps. All caps, no cap. Back then, I didn't even know about Luigi. I was connecting the dots of United Healthcare with Health and Home Services and this bill that they lobbied. Because that's one of the ideas behind this is, because if you go to Open Secrets, you'll find that United Health is one of the top lobbyists in the world, in the country. 59 out of 9,000 lobbyists, ranked 59th. That's huge. That's high up there in terms of money spent. And you'll notice that in 2023, they spent an exponentially more than they did in any other year. So you're like, what happened in 2023? Well, you'll find out that they were lobbying, and I don't know if it's in favor or against. They were just spending money on congressmen whispering in their ear about this bill 2S.2137, Preserving Access to Home Health Act of 2023. And the whole bill is meant to retain Medicare benefits for people who want to die at home. And apparently it's on the chopping block. Otherwise, this bill wouldn't be introduced. The bill isn't introduced because it's like, hey, like, people value this benefit. Don't cut this out of Medicare, because apparently there's talk about doing it. So United Health has their sticky little grubby fingies in politicians' ears regarding this bill. Why? I don't know. I don't know if they're in support of it because they get some of that Medicare money because they own a bunch of home hospice businesses, and Mangione owns a bunch of nursing homes. Maybe there's conflicting interest there. I don't know. I need more information. Or they're, yeah, anyway. And you recall they got in UnitedHealthcare got in trouble for gouging Medicare. Right? Remember that? Fraud in Medicare and stuff. And we know that the new administration, the House Speaker Mike Johnson, Project 2025, Trump, everyone, every single one across the board says we're cutting Medicare. We're cutting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And I think that's part of the reason why this bill is introduced, because the people that are involved in this sort of business are like, hey, like, people are like, give them the respect to let them die at home if they can, you know? And then we have the Department of Justice from November 12th. Because UnitedHealthcare was trying to create monopolies of health and hospice groups, because they're very interested in all this, right? And that was kind of where I left it, was like, I thought, man, that's interesting that all these sort of interests are aligned. And now we've got one more massive interest. And this is my big conspiracy. Maybe the Mangione family, which has a ton of wealth based on the nursing homes, is part of this conversation on this legislation to preserve Medicare funding for health and home care and hospice. Maybe his family's wealth is tied to the passing or failing of that bill, and that's part of it. And he didn't like the direction that UnitedHealthcare was taking, lobbying for or against this bill. I don't know what their stance is. And that's why he whacked Thompson. I think it's a pretty solid theory. So in conclusion, let's wrap it up. Let's put this all together. What I'm saying is, I think this murder has some association. And this is all, of course, hinged on the idea that Luigi actually is the killer, which, again, I don't know. But let's just roll with it and say, okay, yeah, this is it. He did it. That Luigi's father, Luis, who he also has a Wikipedia page, by the way. And if you go to it, when I went to it, it said that this page is going to get deleted. Which is interesting in itself. Why? Anyway, Luis Mangione was taking the torch from Nick Sr., who died in 2008. Luis apparently still alive, as is Luigi's mother, Kathleen. I don't know if they're divorced or not, but Kathleen was the one who called the police last month saying he was missing. She called like the San Francisco police. I have no idea why. More to come, I'm sure. We have to dig into the family a little more. So go to Newsweek. They say Luigi Mangione's father, Luis Mangione, still works for the family business, while his mother runs a boutique travel company. She also comes from a prominent Italian-American family in Maryland. Her father, Joseph N. Zanino Jr., founded a funeral home in East Baltimore's Highland Town neighborhood, according to New York Times. Luigi Mangione's family said they were shocked and devastated in a statement posted on social media by his cousin, Republican Maryland State Legislator Nino Mangione, on Monday. Quote, unfortunately, we cannot comment on news reports regarding Luigi Mangione. We only know what we have read in the media. Our family is shocked and devastated by Luigi's arrest. We offer our prayers to the family of Brian Thompson, and we ask people to pray for all involved. We're devastated by the news. Pump the brakes. Let's unpack that. Kathleen Zanino, who is Luigi's mother, her father was Joseph Zanino, who died in 2017. I looked him up. He's a Korean War vet, did mortician work in the military, comes back to the U.S., opens a bunch of funeral homes, gets rich. I don't know if it's rich, but a prominent, what'd they say? A prominent Italian-American family, which I read as rich. Not that that matters, I'm just saying. If you go to his obituary, it says that he was a charter member of the Lord Baltimore Lodge and the Order Sons of Italy in America, OSIA. I don't know what that means. The Lord Baltimore Lodge, I think, is referring to Freemason Lodge, because that's generally where you hear the term lodge, is with Freemasonry, but I don't think it's exclusive to Freemasonry, so it could be, I don't know, what's like the Order of the Elks Lodge or whatever, maybe. So I can't confirm that, but that is interesting if it is Freemasonry. Ironically, there was a Freemason podcast that had a guest named the Worshipful Brother Joe Zanino, but that was in 2019, and he had already been dead, so I don't think that's him. And the OSIA is the is a fraternal organization for Italian Americans. So is Kathleen, is his mom Illuminati confirmed? I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it on the surface. But let's talk about his cousin. I haven't heard this before. No one's talking about this. His Republican congressman cousin, Nino. Turned out Nino, who also has a Wikipedia page, worked on that AM talk radio, the conservative talk radio channel. Says, in July 2017, Mangione filed to run for Maryland House of Delegates. He said that he was inspired to run for office by his late grandfather, Nicholas Mangione, a successful real estate developer who grew up in a poor Italian immigrant family. Now, he's Republican, which, you know, means he does Republican things. Says he serves on the Health and Social Services Subcommittee and the Oversight Committee on Pensions. We're going to come back to that. So, of course, he votes Republican-ish stuff, right? During the 2024 legislation session, Mangione introduced a bill that would sentence people convicted of first-degree murder to death. Ironically, that would be Luigi, if convicted, allegedly, or whatever. In 2022, Mangione signed a pledge to Moms for Liberty. During the 2024 legislative session, Mangione introduced a bill to ban sexually explicit material in public school libraries. Now, Moms for Liberty is that group that's torching all the books. Because they, I don't know, they think kids are running to the library to read horny books. It's whatever. In 2023, Mangione voted against the Trans Health Equity Act, a bill that would require the state's Medicaid program to cover gender-affirming treatment. So again, very much Republican, very much toeing the line of Republican thought, which is ironic, considering that his cousin Luigi is now being embraced by many liberals at the moment as a hero of this sort of anti-capitalism healthcare thing. But is he a liberal? I don't know. Does it matter? I don't think so. But let's look at this bill, the S.2137. I would think that this bill has some serious connection into the Department of Health and Human Services and Congress's Health and Social Services Subcommittee, which Nino serves on. So if there's discussion in the family behind closed scenes of what's going on, I propose, allegedly, maybe, theorizing that maybe that's the connection here. Because it's interesting that the media isn't really talking about how his cousin is a congressman. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, right? And of course, all this hinges on if Luigi really did it. Which I really have a hard time believing because, and here's why. Cops are allowed to lie. The Supreme Court stood that up. They can lie during investigation and interrogation. They can deceive and trick suspects into confessing. They can lie and say that there's, you know, witnesses and evidences and We got these confessions from the co-conspirator. And the whole thing is to try to get you to talk without a lawyer, all right? Which is why the legal advice is always never talk to the police. Always lawyer up. Everything you say can and will be used against you. They tell you. It's like anything else in this world. They tell you straight up to your face. So if you make the mistake, that's on you. That's why there's terms and conditions for apps, you know? They're like, well, that's your fault. You should have known. So that's your right to not talk to the police, so do not do it. I mean, no shade to the police. It's a tough job, but I mean, you're not going to find me talking to someone who is, you know, they want to close down a case ASAP because there's all this pressure to close it down, and there's this massive power imbalance. I mean, only one of us is allowed to lie. I mean, come on. It's a no-brainer. And then on top of that, Luigi's lawyer said there's zero evidence, contrary to what everything we're being told. And no one, I mean, who trusts the mainstream media anymore? Who trusts the legal system anymore? There's video, that video where Luigi's getting carried away, and you can hear him kind of say, this is completely unjust and an insult to the American people. And if you listen, after that, he says something else. And I think I hear it's not a conspiracy, but I could be wrong. It's very hard to tell. The media isn't talking about the second part of that statement, that you can hear him say something, but you can't make it out, really. But listen, I think it says it's not a conspiracy. Then there was a true crime podcast that claims they saw a document that said that his mother had maxed out her deductible of $6,000 on her United Healthcare plan in October, and with the idea that she could finally get to the point where the treatments would be covered by United Healthcare's insurance. But then her doctor went on vacation and she couldn't get the rest of the treatments done that year for neuropathy. And this is what sparked the whole thing, allegedly. But I find it hard to believe that, I mean, these people come from serious money. Serious money. So I find it hard to believe that they're stressed about money or that they didn't have great health insurance to begin with. And the same argument for that spinal injury that he got from surfing, because that's another theory going around, is that, look, he got injured during that surfing incident and now he's mad that the insurance isn't covering it. And I think that's us normies, us poor people, viewing it through our lens, because I've been levels of poor, and I can tell you there's certain levels of poor where you feel like you're back against the wall and you could do crimes, you know, versus less poor, versus, you know, more wealth. And I don't know that Luigi or his family is in that bottom tier at all of being that upset. You know what I mean? Interesting story for sure, though. One of the bigger conspiracies I've ever seen unfold. What's crazy is that the real narrative, the real discussion that no one's really talking about is how effective this violence is. And we talked about this, I believe, in part one, don't quote me on that, about this 2014 study by Gillens and Page called Testing Theories of American Politics, Elites, Interest Groups, and Average Citizens. And basically, the result is, you ain't shit. This is what it said. It said, multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. And the study breaks it all down, and I believe it wholeheartedly. But yeah, violence is apparently the great equalizer at actually getting things done, because look at everything that's happened since then, since that CEO got murdered. Blue Cross Blue Shield reversed their stance on putting limits on how much anesthesia you're allowed to have for your operation. Insane. Insane that was even floated. But homeboy gets murked and now they're like, wait a minute, maybe not. Yeah, good move, you know. CEOs everywhere are panicking, taking down their profiles. The stock for United Healthcare is way down. It's like a 12% drop from $6.10 a share to $5.37 a share just in the couple days since the murder. Amazon and all these online merchant websites they're taking down any kind of merch supporting this. There's lots of free Luigi merchandise going around, and they're taking it down as fast as they can find it. Interesting. Luigi's lawyer says he's getting bombarded with offers to pay the legal fees, and I mean, there's a lot of support for this. That book, The Bullets, he wrote Delay, Deny, Defend, or whatever. That book that was based on sold out. Top of the bestsellers list on Amazon, sold out. And to me, the takeaway from all this, I don't think this is left and right. I think they're going to be very hard on trying to divide us again and be like, no, this is a leftist, this is a conservative, whatever. You know? It's not clear what side Luigi sits on. His whole family seems very Republican. His cousin's a Republican congressman. And I talked about how he even liked that post from 2010 suggesting this sort of conservative ideals. And he consumed a lot of, you know, and that's what the confusion is. He consumed a lot of traditionally liberal ideas about, you know, sustainability, caring about the food system and the animals, getting your mental health squared away. But that is like old school liberal. That's not new school. New school is there's this whole strange shift that has happened. You've got this red pill manosphere group that's into that kind of stuff now, and they pulled a lot of young men into the right with this kind of schools of thought, including the Bernie bro crowd. And you got to ultimately look, because I was a Bernie bro. You got to look at why that all happened, because the DNC purposefully coordinated to make sure Bernie didn't get on the ticket. Both times they screwed him. Both times. Very clear. Plain as day. If you paid attention during the, the primaries. They screwed my man. And look, to be clear, I like Bernie because he was the only one talking about the oligarchs. He was a little too socialist on a lot of things, but I was like, that's fine. I don't care. Close enough. Which is why I understand why people like Trump. Okay, I don't like Trump, but like I get why people do. I don't think they're totally insane. They think that like this is the outside. He's like kind of the antithesis of Bernie. But what I don't understand is like he's very sort of pro business, and Bernie was very pro union worker, blue collar. I don't know. But then things get kind of mixed up, and you can argue both. So we're not going to get into that. But my point is, things got mixed up and blended up real good over the last 8 years. And now you've got a bipartisan awareness going around. Okay, there's a lot of commingling, and that's dangerous. It's because they want us divided as a left versus right, when the reality is it's up versus down. It's class warfare. I've been saying this for years, because the right is trying very hard to portray Luigi as this extreme leftist. They're like, oh, Michael, he's talking about Michael Moore. And they think there's a theory that now they're talking about, oh, it was because Obamacare kicked him off his insurance at 26 that he did this. He's mad at the insurance because of this. And it's like, well, okay. But anyways, this is part of the class warfare. This is the divide and conquer strategy. I talked about this in part one. I talked about how this event, I mean, there's concerns, I believe, the wealthy and the elites getting together behind the scenes saying, hey, we can't let this take off. This could spark a French Revolution type event. Because there's lots of clamoring online. On TikTok, I've seen countless videos of people suggesting violence against more CEOs, doxing, saying their names and photos and telling you how much they make. I mean, it's dark territory. I talk about my thoughts more in part one. If you want to hear my thoughts on all of this, I stand by a lot of my thoughts in part one. But the real question is, did this Luigi Mangione do this? He's saying it's an insult to American intelligence. I think he's referring to the idea that he would be walking around with all of the manifesto and the guns and the weapons and the fake IDs, even though he was trying to conceal his identity the whole time. I mean, walking around with a mask for days? What a mess. And he's right. It is an insult. But we'll see what happens. Interesting case. This year has been insane for conspiracies. We've got assassination attempts and murders and Oh my goodness. It's a wild year. And I've got more coming. I'm doing I'm building a deep dive on Jay-Z. I saw Wicked, and I'm going to do a crazy Wicked analysis. You're not going to want to miss that. And what's the other one I'm working on? I'm working on like four shows right now. And this is the hottest one. This is the one you guys voted on Patreon. I said, which one do you want me to talk about next? And this is it. So, oh, and then Jamie Foxx. I watched his Netflix thing. There's a lot to talk about there too. So I am asking you humbly to stay subscribed to the podcast, whether it's on the free feed or not. Okay, just stay subscribed. I got tons more coming down the pike. If you want to try Patreon, go ad-free, unlock hundreds of bonus episodes, Twin Peaks, Grey Lodge analysis. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Use promo code DIDDY, all caps, DIDDY. But you only got until December 16th, so make it happen. Okay? Thanks for your time. Thanks for your support. Till next time, stay positive.